Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in. We're live with this Tuesday show. This is the Hoosier Report. We do this weekdays at 11 a.m. live and, of course, the replay at 3 p.m. as well. Busy week. I know Indiana not playing in the NCAA tournament, but a quick turnaround from Sunday night when there maybe was some expectation or some hope that the Hoosiers would get in the field of 68, and they were awful close, but they didn't, and it means a really quick turnaround. If you go to that last four in the Dayton, you know, games, obviously that's a really quick turnaround for the NCAA side of things. But the NIT, you're going to have a Tuesday game or a Wednesday game. Thankfully for Indiana, the difference here is no travel. Obviously, they're going to get the opportunity to host as long as they can stay alive in the NIT before the semifinal and championship rounds in New York City at Madison Square Garden. So a quick turnaround. Also fortunate for Indiana, and of course we could all be hitting ourselves tomorrow when we talk about the game and how it goes, but it sure does not look like on paper that St. Francis of Pennsylvania is really much of a match for the Hoosiers. I would be very surprised, even if Indiana comes out a little lackadaisical, wearing some sorrow because of not getting in the big dance, I would still be surprised if they don't handle eventually down the stretch this St. Francis team. Really the only thing that when you look at them on paper, to me at least, concerns you is that they had success in their conference consistently and they were the conference champion thanks to a tie break in the regular season. So anybody that can win a championship and put together a season with enough victories to fight through tough moments and injuries and everything else that happens along the way of a college season obviously is a quality program. I just see lots of differences when you look at the rosters and the makeup and the talent and everything else between Indiana and St. Francis. Also, it's a home game for Indiana. You'd like to think that this team maybe has put it in their minds that we're going to come out and play the way we did the last four games of the regular season, really the last six games of the regular season, with that same level of effort, and we're going to try to get to New York City. What a more fun way in the springtime to go play basketball at Madison Square Garden, something that most of the players on that roster will never get the opportunity to do, and have some fun and try to win a championship. You'd like to think that's how they'll move forward in the NIT. But we all know this Indiana team hasn't done what you think they might on and off this season, so we'll see. It would also not surprise me, as I said, if they came out lackadaisical and maybe not caring about the Indiana on the front of their uniform. We saw that for a stretch this year, and it led to some pretty ugly basketball and some bad losses. But ultimately, I think Indiana's got a game tonight at home that they can work all that out of their system and hopefully get the opportunity to move on later in the NIT, whether it's Providence or Arkansas next week, and moving forward to play some decent competition and play it at home and maybe get a chance to get to New York City and see if they can end this season with some sort of positive momentum for the young guys coming back. Perhaps they can work themselves into some playing time. Archie Miller very clear yesterday in his pregame comments yesterday talking about a lot of different subjects that he's going to play to win, obviously, which I think is the right thing. I agree with that completely. You don't want to just say, hey, we're going to play young guys to get them experience. Yeah, if you can work them in, great. If you can get that done as a byproduct of also trying to win the game, that's great as well. But still, this is a one-and-done, a tournament format, and I would think that any game you sign up for, any game you agree to play, you're going to go out there and try to win the game. So IU tonight, St. Francis the opponent, 7 o'clock is the tip-off. It's an ESPN game, so some college basketball tonight. And, of course, the first games, the early games of the NCAA tournament, in Dayton tonight as well. So you'll have plenty of basketball back on the tube tonight. And then, of course, things really get underway on Thursday with the official start of the NCAA tournament. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Couple headlines here in Segment 1, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Segment 2, it's Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Going to be really interesting to hear what Greg has to say about IU basketball at this juncture with the team heading to NIT play tonight. Later in the program, we'll really start to break down the matchup and the NIT bracket as well with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. A little recruiting with him also today to wrap up the program later in this hour. Let's take a look at our headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Romeo Langford, there's a lot of talk about, is he going to stay? Is he going to go to the NBA draft? I'm still under the belief, my own belief, that he will declare for the NBA draft at the conclusion of the IU basketball season. Now, a lot of things surrounding not only Romeo's decision, but other underclassmen as well that have this in front of them is, are you going to be a lottery pick? That's guaranteed money in the NBA. It's a pretty nice contract for right out of the gate. And so far, Romeo has projected 7, 8, 9. I think maybe at one time he was as high as 5th in some of the more reputable mock drafts out there. Now, I know there was a mock draft out yesterday. I don't even remember who it was. It may have been one of the good ones that had him like number 14 going to Boston. I'm not sure about that. Those guys know way more than I do. But one of the mock drafts that I do look at pretty closely is Draft Express, Jonathan Givony on ESPN. And they've been doing a great job already with the mock drafts for the 2019 draft in June. And he has Romeo Langford dropping a little bit in his latest that came out yesterday to number 10. But I'm still not ready to classify Romeo number 14 or number 15. Maybe he'll drop. Maybe he'll have bad workouts as well. Who knows what can happen. But it still safely looks like he is a lottery pick for the 2019 NBA draft. Speaking of the draft and potential future opponent for Indiana in the NIT, Daniel Gafford of Arkansas, a name that you might remember from earlier in the season when Indiana and Arkansas played each other in non-conference play. Yesterday, he announced that he will declare for the NBA draft, and he's not going to participate in the NIT with his Razorbacks team. So if Arkansas can beat Providence, it would be Arkansas at Indiana or Providence at Indiana, round two of the NIT tournament. Arkansas would not be, or would not have, I should say, Daniel Gafford, who is declaring for the draft and already going to begin that process, and I'm sure those workouts to go along with that. Romeo has said that he would play in the NIT. He was asked by Rick Bozich almost immediately after the team was eliminated from the Big Ten tournament last Thursday. And Archie Miller yesterday in the press conference saying that Romeo Langford is day-to-day with a back injury. Remember, he left the Ohio State game, went back to the locker room for just a few minutes before making a return to the court and ultimately getting back in the game to finish the contest. As of today, this is yesterday, Archie Miller saying he's expected to play today against St. Francis. So sounds like he'll play. Sounds like the back's an issue. Obviously, with the NBA draft coming up and the workouts and things that precede that just around the corner, I'm sure they will keep a very close eye on his back and a potential, you know, cause for concern there. So we'll have to see. Also, how about a shout out to the IU women's team? They are a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. And how about that whole fiasco yesterday? ESPN, what network specifically of ESPN it was. They accidentally put the graphics of the brackets on the side of the screen during other programming, 2-3 hours in advance, maybe 4 hours or more in advance of the women's selection show last night, with all the, you know, live looks at the team celebrations where they get so excited when they get in, and with their fans there for some of them, and interviews with the coaches. They put all that out early by accident. People screenshotted it, put it on Twitter, put it on social media, piecing the bracket together for the NCAA women's tournament long before it was supposed to be out. A lot of drama that goes along along with a bracket reveal taken away yesterday, and they actually moved the announcement show up earlier. They went ahead and revealed things, I think it was in the 5 o'clock hour yesterday. Still came back at 7 o'clock and interviewed coaches and did the live look-ins, but it was really interesting. Even like Louisville, number one seed, just across the river, they knew they were a one seed. But yet when the live look-in to the Cardinal Arena there on campus, they all acted, you know, out of their minds, excited, as they should. But some great acting jobs yesterday in women's college basketball with that mistake by ESPN. But IU women headed to the NCAA tournament after winning the women's NIT last year. They take on seven-seeded Texas on Friday in their first round game. Also, some coaching news. Hard to believe we're already to that point of the season where the college coaches carousel has begun. And, of course, it'll really get heated up the week of the Final Four with more openings. And that's always a big time for head coaches to network with ADs and assistant coaches to network with newly hired head coaches and as they put their staffs together. But former, this is Jeff Goodman tweeting this, former Iowa State and Chicago Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg is expected to be the front runner when Nebraska's Tim Miles is officially fired. Of course, Nebraska is currently in the NIT, but a lot of people do not think that Coach Miles will make it to a next season with the Nebraska program. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle, IU, NIT, Romeo Langford, NBA Draft. We'll cover all of those topics and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
It's Tuesday. That means Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us on the Hoosier Report presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. Stay inside or use our convenient drive-through and coming later this month, the fourth Coffee Crossing location located in Sellersburg. Greg, lots to get to. IU playing in the NIT tonight. Romeo Langford and his latest draft status. Hard to believe we're here in March Madness, a couple days away. I guess today starts the NCAA tournament. I always forget about the early games at Dayton, but there's no question a lot of disappointment, a lot of sorrow from the IU fan base. The Hoosiers not in the big dance this year.
Yeah, they had one game to win. They're playing Ohio State almost for a play-in game for a play-in game. I think Buckeyes might have gotten in regardless, but if you looked at the, like, Joe Lenardi, people like that, the last four teams in, Ohio State was one of them. The first four teams out, Indiana was one of them. In fact, before tip-off, Ohio State was literally the last team in, and Indiana was literally the first team out. So they were literally, as far as Joe Lenardi is concerned, he's pretty good, they were literally playing for a berth, and IU came out and was down 20 with 8 minutes to go. Just ridiculous.
Talking with Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. You know, Indiana accepted the NIT bid. They're going to play games at home as long as they continue to advance up into the semifinal and championship round. That didn't happen a couple years ago. Your thoughts on Indiana, number one, saying yes to the NIT and its reputation in the basketball world. Some people, I think, thought maybe postseason basketball, if it's not the big dance, if it's not the main show, Indiana may not be for it. But also their willingness to host this time around, it seems like maybe a different thought, a different scenario. And I guess that's to be expected somewhat with Archie Miller, a new coach in place.
Well, it's all about the coach. A couple of years ago when Indiana turned down the NIT home game, it was because they knew that Tom Crean was going to get booed, and they didn't want that on national TV. So they literally turned down a home game. And this is not revisionist history. I wrote that 2 years ago, whenever that was. I mean, that's what happened. So that was just a really bad stretch for IU. But by and large, you get invited to the NIT, you go play in the NIT. One little stat that I stumbled onto. Maybe everybody knows this. I have no idea. But tonight when they play in the NIT, this will be their number six NIT appearance. That will then finally give them one more NIT appearance than national championships. So that's pretty good history when you've got more national titles than NIT appearances, or the same number until what happens tonight.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Your thoughts on tonight? I mean, what if you're Archie Miller, what do you – I mean, he said he's playing to win, and I agree with that. But do you you mean to tell me you coach in this tournament that really on a national level – doesn't mean a lot? We'll find out tonight what type of IU crowd and fan base is there to support the team. I know they're giving free tickets away to the students, but do you really coach this thing like a normal game if you're Archie Miller, or do you have to keep some sort of eye to the future and use these, I hate to say less meaningful games, but I don't know how else to put it, to maybe prepare some guys that didn't get ample minutes or in key situations during the last few months of the season?
No, this is not spring football where you have 15 sessions and you can get young guys a whole lot of reps. This isn't that. This is one game, and if you lose, you're done. This is 40 minutes. So what you cannot do is even pretend that what happens tonight is going to help next year. It's not. I mean, they can give Clifton Moore 13 minutes tonight. Are we going to watch Clifton Moore play and say, you know what, if it hadn't been those 13 minutes against St. Francis, we wouldn't have seen that tonight? No, you play to win. You play to win because you're IU, and you don't want to be in the NIT in the first place, and the only thing worse than that is losing at home to St. Francis. So, no, you play to win, and next game you play to win. You keep going, and you try and salvage something.
Talking to Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. You know, I guess the concern is, at least my concern with this team, we know the lack of effort that just a few weeks ago, and even maybe at times in that Thursday Big Ten Conference tournament opener for the Hoosiers against Ohio State, we saw this not on the big stage, likely not a great, great crowd there tonight. Will we see Indiana come out and play like they did the last four or five games of the year when they won four of those regular season contests to close things out? Or will we see maybe the Indiana team that was at Minnesota where they acted like they really didn't even care to be there? I mean, it's an NIT game, not a lot of meaning to it. Fan base won't be the same. The energy in that building will not be the same, even though it is a home game for Indiana. Do you think there's a chance this Indiana team comes out and doesn't care or has that same feeling or attitude that we sensed so many times in the month of January and into February as well?
Well, there's sure a chance, given that they've done it before. You know, if that had never happened, I don't think it'd be fair to say, gosh, I wonder if that team will show up and even care tonight. Well, they've cared 35 times this year. It's not fair to say they're not going to care, you know, 36. But that's not who IU is. You know, even Archie Miller kind of, in his own way, said this after they had won four in a row, entering the Big Ten, he said this is a team that again, finally, likes to get back in the gym and work. So, which is really coach speak for, we weren't trying very hard, we weren't practicing very hard, we weren't caring very much. So they've shown they can not do that. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but I suspect Archie knows. They've had practices since Chicago, and knowing, well, you know what, I guess they're until Sunday night, they were practicing thinking they might be in the dance, I suppose. But they got together yesterday knowing we're playing St. Francis. And whatever happened yesterday in practice, Archie saw it, and he knows what's going to happen tonight, and I wish I knew.
Greg, let's talk a little bit about Romeo Langford. He said that he will play in the NIT, as I think we all expected him to. There was a big rumor mill that, oh, he's not going to play if they don't make the NCAA tournament. He's going to shut it down and prepare for the NBA draft. I did see, and I mentioned this in the first segment today, that a player from Arkansas did announce that yesterday, that he's not going to play with his team in the NIT, and he is going to prepare for the NBA draft. But a lot of draft talk beginning to heat up with the tournament here. It's obviously a big time for scouts to watch the players on a big level, a big stage. I saw one draft yesterday, mock draft yesterday, that had Romeo, I think, down to number 14, which I had not seen him that low, and I don't even recall who it was. There are so many drafts, just like player rankings in high school basketball. Who really knows? But one of the ones I do respect is Jonathan Givony, who is with ESPN now, and he, in his latest, which came out earlier today, had Romeo down a few spots at number 10. Do you still feel like, do you still hear, do you still think that he is a lottery pick in this June's NBA draft?
Well, I will tell you that I wrote about Romeo and his draft stock about a month ago, and we talked about that. I talked to a couple scouts who told me they wanted to see some alpha male out of Romeo. They wanted to see, it wasn't so much about the shooting, they were convinced he could shoot, but they just wanted to see more, you know, desire is the wrong word, but just if you're going to draft a guy that high, he's got to, you know, be the kind of guy that will grab his team by the throat and go. And that's just not who Romeo is. It wasn't who he was in high school. So that's the last time I've talked to the NBA about Romeo. So I'm not going to sit here and do what some people do and kind of pretend, yeah, they still think. I have no idea what they still think. But I tell you, you look at these mock drafts, and that tells you what they think. These mock drafts, they're not guessing. Now, some people are guessing. They're, you know, a mock draft of a guy at a college at Missouri. I got a mock draft. Okay, well, you're guessing. Jonathan Givony's not guessing. Now, he's not going to nail it, but he's doing that mock draft based on talking to scouts and based on Adrian Wojnarowski, who's his, you know, close colleague, talking to scouts, talking to teams. So if Romeo's dropping in important mock drafts like Jonathan Givony's, and I believe it's Sports Illustrated that had Romeo at 14. I looked last night, and I, just like you, I can't recall, but Romeo had dropped in every mock draft I saw. A couple of them had at 14. I saw one of them, and again, it's the kind that, you know, a kid might do in his basement, but there was one mock draft had him 28, which is, you know, absurd. But anyway, he's dropping, clearly. Givony and folks like that know. What I find interesting, two things. One, Daniel Gafford, the Arkansas kid. First of all, Arkansas is Indiana's one of their two second-round opponents. You know, Arkansas is waiting for them if they win their first game. Well, Arkansas has already beaten Indiana once this year, so that's kind of good for Indiana that Gafford won't be there, assuming they can even win the first game. And also, Gafford lit them up in that first game. He had 27-12 or 27-10 and three blocks. So that's good for IU. Darius Garland, folks around here will remember IU tried to get him. Yeah, and he went to Vanderbilt and had a good game or two or three, however many they played, before he hurt his meniscus late November, hadn't played since. And he declared for the draft in late January. He's number four on Givony's mock, which tells me, I mean, there's no way you're rising with a bad meniscus because you're doing anything. What it tells me is that everybody else they thought might be in that 4, 5, 6 range is dropping. They're all dropping if Darius Garland can rise to four with a bad knee. So this draft appears to be, I mean, just my knee-jerk reaction to Darius Garland being fourth, this draft appears to be very, very top-heavy. I mean, we all know that. I mean, if R.J. Barrett goes third, holy cow. If Ja Morant goes third, holy cow. But I think it might fall off a cliff after three.
Let me ask you, I don't know how well-versed you are in the lottery and that sort of thing, but I believe it's 14 picks, the first 14 that have the guaranteed money in the NBA draft. Is that correct?
It's 13 or 14. If someone told me, we'll pick one, Greg, I'd say 14, but I'm not positive.
I think it's 14. I was looking at something last night that was, because I just was curious how the lottery itself played out as far as who got the picks, and I know it's been a changing process over the years, but at some point in really legitimate mock drafts, if Romeo is projected 14th, and I think you're right, it may have been Sports Illustrated's mock draft that had him 14th going to Boston last night, and if he is 10th today in another reputable draft service like Jonathan Givony of ESPN, does that guaranteed money at some point, and being in that top 14, if that truly is the lottery, if you're slipping out of that or it's close, do you think that could be a reason for reconsideration about coming back for a second year of college basketball?
I don't think so. Daniel Gafford, just to use the name we're talking about, his mock is level is early second round, and he's turning pro. So what it comes down to, that could be a factor, sure. I mean, everybody's unique. They all have the things they weigh. And right now, we don't know what Romeo's weighing. We don't know how important is the guarantee as opposed to just you're going to go get paid. And you're going to get paid a lot of money, and if you're half as good as we all think you are, you don't need to worry about the guarantee because you're going to get paid and you're going to have a 12-year career in the NBA. And I'm sure he believes that, and I'm sure he's right. So I don't think the guarantee matters at all. I do wonder if Romeo ought to come back. Again, and I don't know his family situation. I don't know, I mean, and neither do they know mine. You know, they don't know if my kids, their tuitions, if I'm in trouble. They don't know. I mean, nobody knows anybody's financial. I have no idea. But if it's just about the basketball, and maybe this is just me being selfish and clouding my view, which is what we all do. When we have opinions, you know, whatever, we kind of, our baggage clouds it. I understand that. So my baggage, and in this case it's good baggage, might be clouding this because I like Romeo, and I want to see him be great, and I want to see him... I want to see that kid have the kind of career we all thought he was going to have. And I, and he's unique. I mean, he's not like anybody else. He's, I mean, how many guys are as good as he is and as nice as he is and as unassuming as he is and sometimes passive as he is? He's more than willing, if the team tells him, to go stand in the corner while Devontae Green does his thing. I mean, how many guys as good as Romeo would do that? Well, I mean, Romeo's unique. Given that, and I'm not sure he can change his wiring, part of me thinks it's not going to happen, but part of me thinks he might be better off coming back to IU and forcing himself to become more of an alpha, because I don't think it's going to happen in the NBA. You go to the NBA where you're all of a sudden you're the youngest guy in the room. You can't, if you're not an alpha yet, you're not going to be one. I kind of think he ought to come back for that reason alone, given that his stock is dropping. Now, if he was still at a 5 or 6, just go. But I think what the stock dropping is telling us is the NBA doesn't know what to make of him anymore. I think he'd be better off just going back to IU and finding some way to kick complete butt for a year. And I don't mean averaging 25. I just mean taking over games, or at least trying to. Because once you get to the NBA, where all these grown men are around, if you can't take it over yet, it's never happened.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Good stuff. Let me close with this. Greg, you've covered sports basketball for many, many years and many, many NCAA tournaments, and I don't know what your coverage plans are for the first and second rounds this weekend, but any kind of fun traditions or things you look forward to the most in this great time of year for basketball when all the games are going basically from noon until midnight for the next handful of days?
And first of all, my plans are I'll be at the IU game tonight. I don't have to, and I got enough to do this week, and I'm leaving tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. for Purdue at Hartford. So stupidly, I'm told my bosses, hey, I'm covering IU tonight, so I'm not going to sleep tonight probably very much, but I want to be there, and I'm going. I'll be as transparent as I can be. I'm going, and I've told IU this, and I've told people on their staff this. I'm going to your game tonight because I want to see you play well. And I want to see either Devontae Green or Romeo. I mean, I'm just flat out telling you my story. I want one of those two guys to have a great game. If it's Devontae, then I want to write, look at Devontae Green. Look at the turnaround he's had. If it's Romeo, I want to write, look at Romeo. Good for him. So that's what I hope happened tonight. That's why I'm going. Then I'll go to Purdue. As far as the tournament itself, the thing I always enjoy about the tournament is I like those blue carpets. I don't know what that is, but you've got to kind of maybe be in the media or coach, wherever you have to. I'm not sure the average person. I'm not sure Matt, you even know what I'm talking about, but they put blue carpets everywhere, and they travel them. These aren't, you go to all these arenas wherever you are. In 8 arenas this weekend, there will be 8 blue carpets everywhere. I just like walking the blue carpet. You know, some people think of the Masters and they think of azaleas and pimento cheese sandwiches and things like that. You asked me about the NCAA tournament. I think of blue carpets, and it always makes me feel good.
Are we talking blue carpet like back in the locker room media hallway area? Or this isn't out around the court at all where you'd see it on television or if you were at the game, is it?
No, right. People won't see it. It's behind the scenes. It's going to the press conferences. It's going to the media workroom. It's going to the locker rooms. It's just blue carpets. And I kind of wonder, do they recycle these blue carpets, or, you know, they roll it up and put it in a truck and bring it somewhere else next year? Are these brand new blue carpets or whatever? So
is it NCAA blue carpet? Does it match the NCAA blue?
It must. It's royal. I don't know if NCAA blue is. Is it royal blue?
It's a light blue, isn't it? I'm trying to recall the.
It's damn
insignia.
Near Duke blue. It's damn near Duke blue, which might not be a coincidence. but it's been blue for as long as I've been doing this, and my first tournament was 1997 or 98. So it's been actually my first tournament, and I always wish you wouldn't play this when I'm on, but whatever. The Bob Knight tournament at Boise. You know, when you that little bit that you always play before I come on. I was there for that, and.
Wow.
Every time I was there for that because FIU was there, and every time you play that, it makes me sick. It makes me sick because it shouldn't have happened. It was a bad move. It's a bad guy move. Let me bully this guy right next to me who didn't know what he was talking about, but it wasn't his fault. let me bully this guy, and then turn to the media and smile and say, okay, ask me questions. That sucked.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, enjoy the start of March Madness. Thanks for your great efforts to cover IU tonight in the NIT. Leave at 5 a.m. to cover Purdue. Sports and coverage in Indiana is better for your work ethic, and it's appreciated.
Well, thank you. And I was at Semi-State over the weekend. That was a blast, too. So, real quick, driving back from Chicago, Big Ten tournament. On my way back, Lafayette Jeff is on the way back to Indy. I darted in there and watched Semi-State. So, anyway, this is the time of year. If you like basketball, you better do this stuff, and I like it. So, I'll hang up now, but thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Greg. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, coming later this month, the fourth Coffee Crossing location here in southern Indiana. It'll be Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, located at I-65 near Ivy Tech in Sellersburg, of course, home of the Silver Creek Dragons, who, speaking of high school basketball, will play for a state championship on Saturday, 6 p.m., the tip-off of that 3A state championship game, and will be a lot of fun for that team and, of course, the community to follow them to Indianapolis. I was talking with Coach Hoffman earlier today, and I said, hey, when is your big practice at Bankers Life Fieldhouse? That was always one of my favorite memories when New Albany made the trip to Indianapolis, I guess 3 years ago now, which is crazy to talk about. But that was always neat to watch the players run out an empty Bankers Life Fieldhouse and to watch their reactions. It's almost like they realized that they arrived and finally maybe accomplish one of their goals, just getting to the state championship. And then, of course, you come back on Saturday, and the arena's full for the game, so you get to see the arena kind of two different ways, which I thought was pretty neat. But Coach Hoffman said because of all the events in Bankers Life this week, and you got to remember all the different concerts and Pacers games and everything else that goes on there, both on the court and behind the scenes, that they're not letting the teams practice this year, which I think is always a possibility that every so many years the teams may not get the opportunity to practice there in advance of the state championship games on Saturday. So that's disappointing to hear, but still, what a neat, neat accomplishment for Silver Creek. They're going to have a lot of fun this week, a lot of unique opportunities, a lot of opportunities to be together as a team. It's just a special week, and of course, playing in Bankers Life in a state championship game, that'll be special as well, and we'll be there for the full play-by-play story of that unique journey for Silver Creek on Saturday night against a very good Culver team. Very good Culver team. We're going to talk more about Silver Creek's opponent later in the week as well to kind of give you an idea about the type of school and some of the big players, big names. Some of them you hear me talk about because of an IU interest from time to time here on the show. But big stuff coming up for Silver Creek this week. Also, IU tonight, just a reminder, the game tips off at 7 o'clock. That means pregame coverage begins at 6 p.m. Then, of course, after the game, win or lose, you've got the assembly call, IU postgame show right here on the Big X Sports Radio with Jared Morris and his crew from the Assembly Call podcast, Assembly Call website. They do a great job. Always look forward to hearing their insight after IU games. That's the Doyle segment. We're going to close this out, head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We'll really dig into St. Francis tonight. I also, speaking of St. Francis, saw a tweet that St. Francis put out, a video of their kids walking into Assembly Hall for the practice last night in advance of tonight's first round NIT game. And I'm paraphrasing here, but something about being honored to play at a program with such tradition of Indiana basketball. So their kids obviously enjoying the experience of postseason basketball as well. Mike Pegram and I back to talk IU hoops, to talk the matchup tonight. We'll probably get into some recruiting stuff as well. We'll also take a look at the NIT bracket as a whole and some potential matchups down the line for this Indiana team. All coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com is my guest. More IU basketball in this segment. We'll preview tonight's game, talk about the NIT tournament, and more. Mike, I want to start with some off-the-court things in relation to tonight's game, and IU's hosting in the NIT, at least until the semifinal round, which moves to New York City. What kind of crowd do you expect? You've been around this program and some NIT appearances many times before. What are your thoughts on the crowd tonight? I know students getting the opportunity for free tickets. How many years ago was it a 5,000, like 5,100 people there, which was a record low for a men's basketball game at Assembly Hall? I think that was the last time that Indiana hosted an NIT game. And I know there were some other things going on with coaching situation and things at that time that may have cut back some of the interest or fanfare about it. But your thoughts on crowd-wise tonight and really for this potential run Indiana could have in the NIT playing at home, what do you expect?
I would roughly guess half full, maybe 7,500. I don't know. It's it's possible you could see up to 10,000, but I think that the students will come to the level that, you know, there's decent seats. But I would guess 7,500 if I had to wager on it. And but I don't have much precedent. It's been a really long time since they hosted a game, but it was a better environment than back then.
We're talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. The opportunity to host obviously gives Indiana no opportunity to travel, which is a good thing, and obviously the chance to continue to work on things as the tournament progresses. Tonight's contest, St. Francis, I don't see a lot that makes me think it'll be a competitive game, but there's a lot unknown about this Indiana team and how they're going to come out, how they're going to handle the disappointment of not making the NCAA tournament. Are they going to continue to play with a decent amount of pride and energy and confidence and the things that you expect IU to do, whether it's the NCAA, the NIT, regular season, whatever it may be, or are they going to kind of relegate back to some of the worst moments we've seen this year where I wasn't quite sure if they really wanted to be there? What do you expect tonight?
Well, they're prohibitive 19.5-point favorite. But St. Francis, you know, won tied for the regular season in the Northeast Conference, has some really experienced guards that can shoot the three. If they get hot, you know, it's not a given that Indiana's going to win this game tonight. You know, like you said, it could be one of those flat performances that we've seen, you know, often from the team. But St. Francis has not got very good defensive numbers. And so I think that they would really have a difficulty stopping Jerron Davis and Juwan Morgan inside. They just don't have a lot of size. So I would suspect that Indiana will be fine in the game, but there could be some you know, if they come out with one of their often seen flat starts, it could be interesting for a while.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest talking about IU's game tonight. 7 o'clock tip-off, 6 o'clock pregame right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's look ahead at this bracket for just a moment. I know you never want to do too much looking ahead, but there are some better matchups perhaps coming down the line for Indiana. You look at Providence or Arkansas. You look at a potential quarterfinal round game after that. And, of course, you get to New York City in the Final Four. You get some pretty good matchups for sure, given who the one seeds are and some of the higher seeds are in the other pods of this bracket. But for this Indiana team, what do you think they can use this NIT for? I know Greg Doyle said, I really don't think you can get much out of it building for the future or building for next season. But what should the goals be for this team, whether it is for next season, whether it's solely for the conclusion of this season, whether it's players working on specific things? What should the goals be for this team in this tournament?
Well, first and foremost, give some of the younger players a chance to get even more in tune with the offensive system and what, you know, Indiana's trying to do defensively. You just can't get that in the off season. Second, I think this team has not always been very good offensively. It started to play well in that part of the game, the last two regular season games. But I think it's maybe a chance to really, you know, identify itself with an offense that works and to maybe, you know, find some guys who can be reliable three-point shooters for next season, you know, really go to that. But there's not a lot of positives. I think getting to New York would be a good for this team. The experience of playing in a tournament will be, you know, beneficial to the younger players in the team. But, you know, just not – I think you can get a lot more out of games in formal practice and you can on off-season play in terms of learning how to play help defense, how to play the offensive system that Archie Miller wants to do. And so those are the things I think they can pull from this.
We're talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, IU basketball, of course, the topic. NIT moving forward, the opportunity to host and then go to New York City. You know, the competition in this tournament is not bad. I mean, you look at the first four teams out of the tournament, Indiana, one of those four teams. You look at the other number one seeds in the tournament, Butler's in the tournament, Xavier's in the tournament, some other quality teams. Do you think that this Indiana team, looking at their pod, their side of the bracket, the lower left side, is this a group of teams that you would expect Indiana to come out and be the representative in the Final Four of the NIT, or do you think there could be some close calls along the way or some tough games along the way?
Oh, there'll be tough games. I think only this opener is one game that I see Indiana, you know, not having too much trouble with, but Providence is home against an Arkansas team that doesn't have Daniel Gafford, so I would suspect Providence would be next. They have gone through a difficult Big East schedule. Their, you know, coach has been around for a while. They have some guys in Indiana recruited. That's going to be a real test if that's what happens. And, of course, Arkansas, if it is Arkansas, already beat Indiana this year. And then, you know, you could have somebody like a Clemson or a pretty good team there waiting for them in the round of eight. And that would be a really difficult contest where Indiana has to play well. So, you know, I don't think it's definitely not a given that they'll have any easy road other than maybe tonight.
Mike, let's talk a little bit of recruiting before we close this out for this Tuesday program. You were in Seymour. I believe I saw you there at the Sim Estate taking a look at Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, who had another great performance, even though he's been sick. He had some big moments against Crispus Attucks to help the Dragons move on to a state championship game. You followed him now for a while. In fact, you were one of the first people, I think, to interview him back over the summer, as he just was really a name beginning to become on the radar of potential recruits in the younger classes here in Indiana. So you've really had a chance to watch him develop and come together as a player and now as a recruit as much or more than anyone. What are your thoughts as he is in the final week of his high school season of his sophomore year?
We had a really solid state tournament, and I think he's a high major player. We'll get the offers, I think, later this year from that level. And it's a fun team to watch. Cooper Jacoby also has a chance to maybe play himself into some really serious offers later on as he gets stronger. But that's a fun team to watch. Crispus Attucks gave him all they can handle with, was it eight or maybe nine second-half three-pointers, and they still withstood all that shooting. I'm more looking more forward to the 3A game than any of the games in Indianapolis on Saturday. Culver's a really good team, defending state champion, has, you know, Trey Galloway with multiple Big Ten offers, and it should be a terrific atmosphere at Bankers Life.
And I've had a couple people say, hey, we're going to the state finals. A lot of Silver Creek, Southern Indiana people to watch the Dragons, but we're going to make a day of it. Who are some other names we should watch specifically from an IU perspective? As you look at all the games, even the morning session of 1A, 2A as well, names of potential IU interest, whether it's someone in the upper classes, but primarily a lot of younger names in the class of Trey Kaufman and some of those guys.
Caleb First playing for Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian already has Purdue and Indiana offers, and he's in the early game, 6'9", runs the court, really skilled, but has learned to play near the basket a lot the last few months, and he's a treat to watch, and that would be a reason to get there early for people that might be coming in for the later games. And then the 4A game should be fine, even though there's no real specific Indiana, and just Carmel has a lot of good players, and then, of course, the big kid going to Butler, and then the big offensive tackle for Ben Davis is something to see, 6 foot, seven, 360 pounds, Durant Jones. It just, and then they have a really good wing going to Georgia State, win him, and so it's a fun full of day. In a 2A game, I was really impressed by the kid from Linton, the shooter, Hale. I'm forgetting his first name, but he's getting looked at already by Indiana State. He's only a sophomore, 6'4". It kind of reminded me of Ryan Klein. So those are good players to watch in every game today that are rare and hard to find. And the reasons those teams are in the state championship, they have guys like that.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com with us. Mike, thanks for the chat. We'll catch up with you here again very soon.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with a final quick segment. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back for a final quick segment on this program today. Again, IU basketball tonight, 7 o'clock. Don Fisher has the call. Pre-game coverage at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, Assembly Call, IU post-game show after the conclusion of that game once the IU network coverage is wrapped up. A couple other notes for this week. I'll be back with you on Wednesday, tomorrow. In addition to our normal guests, Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com, we'll also have Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. But Culver Academy's coach, Mark Galloway, is going to be with me tomorrow as well. And I know a lot of people interested in Silver Creek's state championship opponent. I'm all over the place today. And also he's got a couple really good players, including his son Trey, that is being recruited by IU, among other schools as well. So we'll talk with him tomorrow and get a little insight into who the Dragons will be playing against and a little more about his son, who is an IU target in the younger classes here in Indiana. So that will happen later this week on the program. And then I am gone Thursday and Friday. Lee Kelly will be in both of those days to host the show, and I know that he's working on some great guests and some things to get you prepared for Silver Creek at the state finals and some of our regular guests on the program as well. That's going to wrap things up for today. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.